Good morning. We're going to read Psalm 146 from the Women's Lectionary. Hallelujah! Praise the ageless one, O my soul. I will praise the ever-living God all my life. I will sing praises to my God throughout my living. Put not your trust in the great, nor any child of the earth, for there is no help in them. When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish. Happy are those for whom the God of Rebekah's line is theirs, whose hope is in the Creator of all, their God. Maker of heavens and earth, the seas and all that is in them, keeping faith forever. Bringer of justice to the oppressed, bringer of bread to the hungry. The compassionate God sets the prisoners free. The all-seeing God opens the eyes of the blind. The just God lifts up those who are bowed down. The righteous God loves the righteous. The mother of all cares for the stranger, orphan and widow. She bears up but confounds the way of the wicked. The majestic one shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, from generation to generation. This is the word of the Lord.
If you're wondering about that scripture, can you hear me? If you wonder about that scripture, it's different than probably any Bible you have read before. It's in the Women's Lectionary. The author of the Women's Lectionary has made her own translation, particularly when it comes to the names of God, how to name God. She gives a lot of options to name God in different ways, and it's beautiful. I recommend it. The whole lectionary is beautiful. So Psalm 146, we are in Lent, and I will kind of piggyback on last week's message from Doug on repentance. I'm not going to talk too much about repentance, but I'm going to give us some hints of what things that we probably need to repent from. This psalm first starts with an admonition. An admonition is like a warning. Be careful where you put your trust. Be careful not to trust certain people. Isn't that what your mother told you when you were growing up? Be careful who you trust. Be careful whose advice you follow. Be careful the examples you take in your life. Be careful not to try to copy people who are doing bad things, right? Yeah, we tell our children that, and we try to follow the advice. However, sometimes we equate power with wisdom. Big mistake. Because we see some people on TV and we think that because they're famous and they have the power of fame, they are to be trusted. Be careful. Sometimes we hear politicians, "Ooh, should I keep going?" Be careful. Today, this year, 24, is an election year. Be careful who you trust. Be careful when you hear people on TV. And I'm not talking about presidential candidates only. I'm talking about local people running for office. I'm talking about governors and congress people. I mean, anybody. Anybody who's on a political campaign, be careful to examine exactly what they say. Be careful when you see political ads, and I'm sure you do this already because you are very smart people, but when you see political ads in TV, look at the fine print to see who's sponsoring that, who's paying for that ad. That will tell you a lot, okay? In my book, when I see NRA there, I make a cross on it. I don't know what your criteria is, but that's one of my criteria. So let's be careful who we trust. The psalm says, if you put your trust on another human, remember that they are human. Remember that they will die and go back to the earth. Remember they're not forever. Remember when, as we were singing this song, thank you, Tara, for that song, Always With Me, I was listening to the words, and it's a new song to me, but that's why I was paying very close attention to the words. And the words said some phrases like, in good weather or in the storm, I'm paraphrasing, I know I can reach out and hold your hand. And at one moment, this thought came through my head. You pretty much know how much I love my husband, and we've been together forever. And I thought, oh, I could say that about him. I know that I can reach out and hold his hand. He will hold my hand through storms, and he has been with me through thick and thin, and that's beautiful. But then I thought, but remember not to put my trust on him, but on God, because God is the one who will be with me forever. Forever. I don't know if we're going to be together forever. As we grow old, it seems like the reality of death is becoming more real, right? And you know that one day, one of the two will part. We have a good friend in hospice now, and that made me think a lot about these things. So when I put my trust in him, as a human, I trust him more than any other human, but I could never trust him as much as God, because God would always be there, always. Even beyond my death, he will be there. God will be there. So this is the admonition, not to trust powerful people because they are human. They are human. And not to trust anybody more than God, because God will always be there. The psalm then goes on to remind us of who God is and what God does. Now, I don't have the Women's Lectionary version here. I have my Bible, which is NRSV. But it says, the Lord said, this is a good reminder, a good reminder. The Lord who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, another story of creation, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. A good reminder of who God is and what God does. Sometimes we forget about these things. Sometimes we see injustice, and we see a lot of injustice, don't we? If you follow the news on TV or on the internet or on any news media outlet you follow, you know how much injustice there is in the world. And if you're like me, you start trying to figure out the conspiracy behind it. You start to try to figure out who's behind this and who's winning. Somebody taught me a long time ago that when you cannot figure out a situation, ask yourself the question, who's winning? Who's getting something out of this? Who's winning here? The whole situation in Palestine keeps on being horrible. They don't let up. Our president keeps promising that there will be a truce soon. Not soon enough for the people of Palestine. Who's winning? Who's having any benefit? Who's getting any benefit from all this? I could talk about so many other things that affect us even here at home. Who's getting something out of homelessness in this country? that we have money to invest so much in weapons and we don't have money to invest in housing. What's up? Who's winning or who's not losing enough? That's part of the problem, injustice. We see we are a church that prides itself in calling ourselves a church that loves and embraces social justice. And social justice is what we're talking about. We're talking about injustice, which is the other side of the same coin. Because there will be no justice until all injustice dies off. There will be no justice. And there will be no justice for everybody if there is no justice for some. And there will be no peace if there is no justice. Because a soul that is troubled by injustice is not a soul at peace. And there will be no peace for everyone until there is peace to everyone. So when we are comfortable, I love my apartment here in Tacoma. We are renting an apartment here around the block on Tacoma Ave, and we love it. We love it. We have a couple of recliners. I love to sit in my recliner, lay back, and do nothing. That's my rest, folks. I love it. And when I'm there, I pray to God that God will give me no peace because there are others who are living outside. Because there are children who suffer. Because there are mothers who don't have enough to feed their children. Because we have more and more people here coming to the breakfast every Sunday. And sometimes we celebrate that. We say, oh, that's great. We have more people. And it's one of those things, you know, that you wish you didn't have anybody. That you wish you didn't need a breakfast for your community. Because everybody can eat at home. They have enough and they have a warm home and a roof over their heads. And we don't need to collect warm clothes for them. But if we do, it's because there is injustice. If we have and others don't, it's because there is injustice. So if you wonder sometimes and you look over things and you try to study the world and find out where is injustice in our world? Let's see. Let's take the map of the world and see where there is injustice. Just look at your recliner. Don't feel guilty. The idea is not that you don't have a recliner. The idea is that everybody can have one. But our God is the one who thinks this way. Our God is the one who made a world that is the same for everybody. Our God is the one who made resources that were supposed to be enough for everybody. Sometimes when we suffer, we blame God, right? We blame God. Where was God when my child died? Where was God when I was diagnosed with cancer? Where was God when I lost my job and my home and now I had to be on the streets? Where is God? Well, interestingly enough, I have to say to you that after 5 years of doing heavy work with the houseless in California, I found out that those people are the ones who question God the least. I have found more faith among them than in the congregation proper members. I have found more testimonies of God's provision and love and embrace and protection in people who were living on the streets than in those who go to mega churches. Yeah. When you don't have anything else, you have to rely on God. when you don't have anybody else, you have to trust God. Remember the first point? Trust God more than you trust people. Because this is God, the God who does justice, the God who quenches our thirst for justice. Yeah. So, what do we need to repent from? I'm going to tell you what I have to repent from, and then it's your business to find out what your stuff is. Fair? Yeah. I have to repent from my years of racism. Yeah. And you probably are sitting there saying, but you're a Latina. What kind of racism did you have? Oh, yeah. I was born in a country, in a very racist country, that saw people with dark skin as less. I grew up that way, and I believed it. Yeah. I was a white person. Came to this country in 1982, and soon after that, I started working in my job. They had an unlearning racism workshop. It was mandatory. So there I went. And I said, I don't need to unlearn anything. I'm not a racist. Right? So the facilitators asked us to split in four groups, and each group to go to a corner of the room, and one corner was for women of color and the other for women, white women, and the other for white men, and the other for men of color. And there I went to the white women corner. And they looked at me and they said, no, you belong there. And I threw a fit. I was mad. Mad as hell. I started saying, but my grandparents came from Europe just like the same as your grandparents. What do you mean I'm not white? What? Well, my grandparents were from Spain and Italy. What do you mean not white? What do you mean? I was so angry. So the next day when I went back to work, my boss called me to her office. And said to me, what happened yesterday? And I gave her another tirade of my anger. And when I was finished, she said, what does it bother you so much? And that's a story that I have told many times. I have even written about it. Because it marks the beginning of my new life. It marks the day of my conversion to become a person of color, to understand, to begin to understand that color is not about the skin color. It's not about the real color of your skin. Color is a sociological construction that we have to separate people and to decide who's more and who's less. I have to repent from that. And I still do. And I still remember things I have said. And I'm ashamed. And I have to come to God on my knees and ask that if I'm forgiven, that I can forget. Because I can't forget. And thank God I didn't have any power to oppress anybody. So let us take this psalm as an inspiration to repent from our thoughts and actions for whatever is different. We tend to have a rejection of what's different. Whether it's the color of our skin, or people who come from a different country, a different accent, different ways of eating, we are going as a church through a process of learning how to manage diversity in our midst. Let us be thoughtful about that. Let us be aware. Let us be woke about it. Yeah. and let us repent if we must. And finally, a note about Zion. We have been trying in the church to avoid the word Zion lately because of its relationship or the mental relationship we can make up with Zionism in Israel and the war that is going on. The way we use Zion is as a symbol. It's as a symbol of the kingdom of God. It's as a symbol of that peace that we all want, that justice that we all want. It has nothing to do with Zionism, which is a political movement for the state of Israel. Political movement that has been responsible for even the war that is going on now, for the ethnic cleansing of the Arab world and so much more. When we say Zion, we don't mean that. When we say Zion, you mean that utopia, not utopia in the sense of something false or imaginary, but in the sense of something ideal, such as the realm of God. You remember the concept of shalom, right? Shalom, peace and justice for everybody, equality. That's kind of similar to what Zion means. So, just a clarification. Remembering that God is the God of Zion, not the place that used to be the mountain of God, the mountain on which Jerusalem was built, but that goal that we have in our hearts when we want everyone to be considered equal, when we want to have justice for everybody, recliners for everybody, when we want peace, because nobody is unhappy. Amen.